meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE, Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. And just want to say thank you to the folks at Merit Assembly of God for all that they do to bring this radio program to you. They get so excited when we hear good reports that are coming in about people that are being impacted in a positive way by this radio program. And so we thank you for those words of encouragement. And we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. The Anderson family has been a part of Merit Assembly of God longer than I've been a part of Merit Assembly of God. There's only a couple of people who have been at Merit Assembly of God longer than I have. And Jits Concrete is one of those. It's owned by the Anderson family, and they are still believing that Brevard County needs to hear about Jesus. And they are excellent in block and concrete work. And if you need someone to help you in that, listen, a couple of weeks ago, Brother Anderson was telling me about a large project that they were a part of here in Central Brevard County. And you just don't do those massive jobs unless you have someone who is really, really, really good at their field. A person told me one time that there was a person in a different field of construction than what the Andersons are. And whenever a company needed a master in that area, they always called this person. People who are in the construction trade, they know the people that are going to do a first rate job. And then they know that there are others who might not be so good. I want to recommend to you the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. They have done wonderful work for us at the church for years. They've done work for some of the people in our church. They will be a blessing to you, and I encourage you to give them a call, 321-536-5804. Tell Greg you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and we would appreciate that a great deal. Do want to invite you out to our services this weekend. Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30. Intercessory prayer starts at 8:30. Worship starts at 10:30 of a morning, and I will be preaching this week. We're going to be celebrating Rachel's time as heading up our children's ministry over these past few years, and she's getting ready to say I do, and so we're going to be celebrating her with the kids and having a little bit of fellowship after the service. It's going to be a big week next week for her. Lots of activities. And so pray for her that God will give her peace. She's a bit of an administrator. And so she's going to be quite active over these next several days. So pray that God gives her peace and allows her to enjoy this wonderful season in her life as a new chapter unfolds. So Sunday night, 6:30, and we look forward to seeing you whenever you come to visit. Want to take you in the Word of God today. I'm going to read something to you out of Jeremiah chapter 27. There's a number of little tidbits that we're going to talk about, but I want you to see what the enemy has in store for you. In Jeremiah chapter 27, verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord." So this was a word that came from God. And part of that word, goes down and he into verse number 9, and it says, therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. The thing that you need to understand is that the land that had been given to Israel, and Jeremiah is prophesying this to Jehoiakim the king, who was the son of Josiah, just ascended to the throne. He says, you need to understand that these lies are going to separate you from your inheritance. The land was Israel's inheritance, Judah's inheritance from God. It was given to them, and the enemy was constantly trying to separate them from their God-given inheritance. Okay? Several years later, hundreds of years earlier, I should say, hundreds of years earlier, you read a story about a different king, and you read it in 1 Kings chapter 21. And it says this, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth and said, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near next to my house, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money. Listen to how Naboth responds. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you. So Ahab went into his house, sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face. And that picture is just so funny. Here's the king, and he goes into a temper tantrum, crosses his arms, lays in bed, turns away his face, and says, I'm not going to eat. I can't have what I want. And verse number 5. Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, Why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food? He said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food. Let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. She wrote letters in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels. Okay, listen to the type of people that she wants to use. This is right back to the core value that we were talking about here with thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is, if we live truth, it is going to prevent us from us being delivered to evil. Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him that he may die. So the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who were inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent to them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the people, and two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, for which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. So it was when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead that Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?' And you shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours.'" And so Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" Now, I want you to understand that Elijah was not Ahab's enemy. Elijah was actually one of the best friends that Ahab ever had, because he stood between him and between Ahab and wickedness. Elijah stood there and said, "We are meant to serve the one true God." And yet Ahab and Jezebel were some of the worst idolaters that ever sat on the throne in Judah. So, or Israel sat on the throne. I want to get this right. He was king of Israel, the king in Samaria, the 10 northern tribes. So he was the worst of the worst. The 10 northern tribes had never had a godly king. They always had people when the tribes separated. They had a king that started off good, but he said, "You know what? I don't want people going back down to Judah and falling in love with God." And so he introduced idolatry into the 10 northern tribes right off the bat. And they just went from one wicked king to another wicked king to a more depraved king. Ahab, it says of Ahab in verse number 25 here in 1 Kings chapter 21, "But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up." And so actually Ahab repents to the point. Let me read it to you, because you might think that there might be people who are beyond the reach. Even when this prophecy is uttered over Ahab, he repents. I read verse 25 to you. Verse number 26 says this: "And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it was when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house.'" Ahab had sold himself to do wickedness in an unprecedented manner, and yet God was still willing to forgive him during this time where he humbled himself before the Lord. Now, you can go on and look at the end of the book of 1 Kings, and you'll find that what Elijah prophesied to him about the dogs licking up his blood, that came to pass, because Ahab ends up being injured in battle, and they wash out his chariot on this plot of ground. All of this was designed to steal Naboth's inheritance, something that he had received from his fathers, who had received it from God. I believe that we need to realize to what lengths the enemy is willing to go to separate us from our inheritance. Jezebel schemed and plotted and manipulated and set someone up in a supposedly legitimate manner, and the entire purpose of everything was so that he would be separated from his inheritance. I want you to know that they might have taken his life and they might have taken his vineyard, but they did not take his eternity away. Naboth was one that said, look, if this has been given to me, I'm going to cling to it, and nothing that you say is better is actually better. I'm going to hang on to what God has told me. I'm going to hang on to my inheritance. The Bible calls us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. We have an inheritance. God told Abram, he said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Our relationship with God should be of such value that we say, there is no one that is going to get me to voluntarily surrender the inheritance that I have been given by the Lord God. I want to read to you a passage in the book of Jude. It's a little letter right before Revelation. And it says in verse number 5, but I want to remind you, though once you knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. God chooses our place and he chooses our time. And we cannot simply assert ourselves and say, you know what? I'm going to set aside where God has placed me, the dominion that he has given to me. I'm going to set aside that, and I'm just going to elevate myself. The book of Isaiah, Lucifer says, I'm going to ascend. I will be the light, be like the Most High. I. He's got an I complex. And it didn't matter what position of authority that he had been given. He wanted to elevate himself. Korah led a bunch of Levites in rebellion against Moses, and that didn't work out well. And Moses said, isn't the place that God has given you a good and wonderful place to be? But they wanted someone else's position. There was coveting. Listen, if I operate by this mindset, if God has given me something that is of such value that the devil wants to steal it, I must recognize that it has enough value for me to keep it. Now, if you choose to devalue the inheritance, if you choose to devalue the Word of God, if you choose to devalue relationships that God has brought into your life and say, you know what, there might be a better relationship, there may be a better place, there may be better that I can just manipulate and make it happen in my own life, I want you to understand that the Bible describes that the result of that is going to be you're going to find yourself in the darkest of darkness. You're going to find yourself cut off. You're going to find yourself wishing that you had never made that move. So I want to encourage you, value your marriage, value your church, value your pastor. Don't allow the enemy to come in and sow seeds of discord and strife to where you're separated from the blessings. God, the Bible says that God has blessed us with every blessing in heavenly places. God gives us everything. We are joint heirs of everything that pertains to life and godliness. We cannot afford to allow the enemy to remove us from our inheritance to where we die. That is not going to work out well for us. There was another passage. Lying in God's name is a disgraceful thing. We don't want that. We've talked about that we shouldn't deceive ourselves. We've got to realize that the inheritance that God has given to us is far superior to anything that the devil has to offer. You know, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, I believe it is. Verse number 1 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." That is the inheritance that you and I are called to through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to know his voice. Learn to recognize that his authority is not oppression, it is protection. Let me say that again. The authority of the shepherd is not oppression of the sheep, it's protection of the sheep. Everything the shepherd does is for the sheep to have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the full. The thief comes and tries to separate us from that relationship, to steal our blessing, to steal the inheritance that we have. It results in death. I want you to know that life outside the protection of the shepherd is not better. It's deadly. It's deadly. Several years ago, they found a sheep, I believe this was in Australia, but I could be wrong about that, a sheep that had been on its own for far too long. And its wool was so overgrown that the sheep was in danger of losing its life. They found this sheep and provided for it the care that it needed just in the nick of time. Jesus is your shepherd, and he wants to have a relationship with us that leads us not to a limited inheritance, but to a limitless inheritance, to a fulfilling inheritance. Have you ever eaten something and when you got done with it, you said, you know, that just really didn't fill the need. That didn't hit the spot that I thought it was going to hit. I really need something different in my life. Well, I want you to know, you never experienced that with the Word of God. The Word of God always hits its mark, always strikes its mark, never returns to God without accomplishing what it was sent forth to accomplish. I want to encourage you. The Word of God is a valuable inheritance in our life. And I pray that you will not let the enemy steal that portion of our inheritance away from us by neglect. You know, I can tell you this. When you read the Word of God, you're going to find that there are some old treasures in there, but the Holy Spirit will also bring to you some good treasures that you say, how have I not seen that before? But if we allow the devil to come and say, you know what? You don't need the Word of God. I literally just closed my Bible there in case you were wondering what that thud was. I closed my Bible. If we just say, you know what? I've got this Bible. This Bible that I hold in my hand right now is a Bible that my wife got me for Christmas last year. It's got my name engraved on it. The reason that she bought me one is because I literally preached and taught the cover off of my old Bible. In spite of my best efforts to hold on to it for as long as possible, I got to the point where, you know, the whole thing is falling apart. The pages wouldn't turn as I needed them to. I needed the Word of God to be refreshed in my life. And so this Bible doesn't have all of the markings that my other one did, but it's getting there. Because I know from the things that I've taught, the things that God has spoken to me in the past, I said, well, there's some treasure there that whenever I get to that passage, I automatically remember that. But there's some new things in the Word of God. They're not new to God. They're not new to the Word of God, but they are brand new revelation to me. I want to thank God for the Word. I want to thank God that He's given us eternal life, that He's given us abundant life, that He has made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Don't believe the devil's lies. Don't believe the Bible says he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Don't be a person who lives without judgment and is distracted by every shiny thing that the devil brings your way. You fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author, the finisher of your faith, the perfecter of your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will bring you to the fulfillment of the inheritance that He wants you and I to have. God bless you. You have a great weekend. I pray that you get rested and that you bring your very best praise and worship to God, and He will be enthroned on those praises. We'll see you Monday right
here
on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.